In the name of the one true living God, our Creator, Provider, and Savior. Brothers and sisters, Jesus' teaching on marriage and divorce is inseparable from the Bible's record of creation. It remains foundational for the biblical world and life view of the nature of humanity. Let us listen carefully to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 3 to 6. And Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, 'Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." God's Word. Brothers and sisters, the Bible has one clear teaching about marriage, from its beginning in Genesis to the end of Revelation, the last book. Leaders of the very legalistic Pharisees were jealous and threatened by the admiration and praise of the large crowd drawn to Jesus' teaching. Earlier, Matthew's Gospel explains in chapter 7, when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. The Pharisees used every opportunity to try to intimidate Jesus and raise doubts about the validity of his teaching. They always challenged him publicly. This they did in the presence of many people who followed him and wanted to hear his teaching and benefit from his divine healing powers. We consider one of their many attempts to test and trap Jesus. Their cunning question this time was, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" Obviously, they intended for their tricky question to entrap him into saying something wrong in the presence of the many Jewish followers who enjoyed his teaching. The audience were very familiar with the Torah, especially the creation record at the very beginning of the Bible. The first chapter of the book of Genesis makes a clear statement on God's creation of mankind. It is obvious that the human race was created and introduced as the crown of God's creation. Mankind was created at the end of a very deliberate and orderly creation process. The earth and all its inhabitants were created before man, but for man. The record clearly indicates that our human race was created as God's very unique creature, alone enjoying a living soul, created in God's own image and likeness. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Jesus responded to their question, saying, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" This reflects commitment to the teaching of scriptures recorded by Moses, God's faithful servant. He was viewed with the highest level of trust and honored by all believers. Jesus asserted that God created our human race from the beginning, made them male and female. He goes on to quote from chapter 2 of Genesis about the abiding nature of human marriage, as indicated by our gracious Creator, which says, "Therefore man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Brothers and sisters, it is interesting that Jesus' commitment to the divine creation of mankind included that they were to multiply and fill the earth, which was entrusted to them to manage. We read also in the second chapter of Genesis, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." Yet Adam was not complete. He himself concluded that he needed company of his own kind to enable him to accomplish his calling. Without Eve, how could our human race fulfill the Creator's intent to multiply while leaving Adam on his own? This was and remains at the very heart of God's plan and explains Jesus' statement, first, that from the beginning he made them male and female, and second, that the two shall become one flesh. So to Jesus, human marriage was and still is foundationally between a single human male and a single human female. Their physical makeup as male and female brings about a healthy natural process for humanity's continued existence on earth through the bearing of children. This is how God designed human multiplication. This, of course, was not only divinely designed, but also divinely secured. The joining together of Adam and Eve was meant to be permanent. The two have become one body. They are inseparable. That's why Jesus added, "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." Here we have the wonderful plan of our gracious and holy Creator for the holy unity of husband and wife in marriage. The bodily union of husband and wife is sacred and provides the fulfillment of what Adam concluded was lacking in his own life. This way, his and our needs for fellowship and enjoyment are realized. So God's design for humanity was and still is perfectly suited by the way we are made, male and female. Also, it is the combining together of our male and female chromosomes, the XY and the XX, that is designed to preserve our human posterity. Brothers and sisters, the tricky question of the self-righteous Pharisees, troublemakers, provided Jesus with an opportunity to teach the crowd and all of us something important about the principal reason for divorce. They said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so." It's interesting that instead of them trapping Jesus, they ended up trapping themselves. When Jesus confronted them with the position of Moses, their most venerated prophet. In other words, God's divine plan for the sacred unity and permanence of marriage, perfectly designed between male and female, is corrupted by the corruption of human hearts, which resulted from the rebellion against our gracious, holy Creator. Human hearts were originally designed in the perfect image and likeness of the Creator. They were to reflect His graciousness, goodness, holiness, and self-giving love. As Adam and Eve were joined together, their marriage enjoyed that beautiful divine image and likeness. Brothers and sisters, it is obvious that the self-righteous nature of human Religiosity represented the attitude and lifestyles of the Pharisees. They did not reflect true knowledge of God. On the contrary, it embedded their hardness of heart. This kind of religiosity does not resolve or correct the much distorted contemporary views and practices of marriage. As the new Adam, untarnished by the corruption of the human heart, Jesus reflected the perfection of the intended humanity, fully conformed to the divine image and likeness. In his self-giving, saving grace, he provides those who cling to him with new hearts and restores marriage to the holy unity God designed from the beginning. To him be the glory. The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abide with God's people in all nations, at all times, throughout the whole earth, by the message of the blessed gospel. Amen.